Hello and welcome to the Celtic Women's Football Show from the 90 Minute Cynic. I am your host, Claire Wilde. And today I'm joined by two of my esteemed colleagues. I've got Lorenzo Pacitti is back.
Hi, Claire.
Hi.
I'm back from my sabbatical.
Yeah, you've been off having fun and stuff, haven't you?
No comment.
Okay, fine. Should we just quickly move on and I'll just tell you that Lindsay Hamilton's here as well?
Hello.
Lindsay, I'm enjoying your top today.
Thanks. I've actually worn it because I have completed, it, mate, which is one of my favourite sayings, which is pure old, but I have now have every 2003 jersey. I've completed it with the hoops, so I'm nice. Delighted. Quite big, but I'll take it.
So that's the 2003 hoops. You look very well in it, to be honest. Yeah. Lindsay, how are you doing? We're a little bit like ragged around the edges, weren't we, before recording? I think today's been a bit of an odd day for various reasons, some of which we'll touch on in a minute. But how are you generally?
Yeah, generally all right. Today's just been a bit of lots of work this week. So okay. Generally a bit tired. And then what happened today happened and we will discuss it in a bit. But no, yeah. Generally all good.
We're not going to discuss it at length. We're going to touch on it. I've had a lovely, like, relaxing week up with my sister. I went up to the Isle of Mull where she lives and it was beautiful to be there. I haven't been there, obviously, for a long time. I haven't seen her in real life. But because of a car crash on the M8, I think I arrived home this morning grumpier than when I left. So I kind of, like, undid all the good work. Lorenzo, how are you doing?
I'm good. I just started a removals company in the last month, and I was working with a client from the south of England to move up to Glasgow, and everything just kind of fell apart this morning.
Oh.
I'm not really sure why, what happened there. Oh,
that's interesting. Shame, can you give us any more detail on that?
No, I mean, I've not received much detail either. I'm waiting on a statement, but we'll see.
Was it all circumstances out with your control?
And that's what I was told, yeah. So we've yet to kind of circle back on that and find the real culprits.
Well, just keep us posted if you could, Lorenzo. That would be great. We're going to kick off talking about a bit of news. Obviously, we're recording this on Friday evening. It is 6:10 on the 28th of May. And the thing that we're all, despite the fact that we're here to talk about women's football, which is all very exciting and positive, we are also here to talk about Celtic Football Club, and things are not very exciting and positive there, are they, Lorenzo? And I think the angle I'm coming at here is that this feels so bad today. It's like, I'm sort of a bit worried for like the club as a whole at this point.
Yeah, I think obviously looking at it from the angle of the women's team has been such a feel-good story. And it's been the bright spot for us in a very difficult season being Celtic fans. And the knock-on effect of Celtic just being terrible and run terribly and everyone feeling terrible about the club means that even just this week, you look at great interviews with Fran Alonso going up or interviews about the Derby win, and every comment underneath them is furious because it's not about a new manager or it's not about Celtic or whatever. And it just... it's a time where every good story about us beating Rangers three times this season should be so great, but the club is just so toxic right now that we're losing the kind of the step, the edge we should have from how good a season we've had.
Yeah, Lorenzo's kind of hit the nail on the head there, hasn't he, Lindsay? And I think for me, the big fear is just that we've talked a lot about how we want the women's game to be run and the positivity around the improvements that we've seen. And it's just when you see kind of ineptitude at this level, it just puts the fear in you.
It makes you worry about the whole operation, because if you kind of get, I know it's a big role to fill, it's a big job for everybody involved to get the right person in, and but it's also your bread and butter for a football team. It really shouldn't be this complicated.
Yeah.
And it kind of puts the fear in me across the board, across the whole operation. Mm-hmm. It's just the whole thing's been a shanner. In every department at Celtic at the minute, aside from, as Lorenzo's rightly said, the women's team.
Yeah.
But then again, there are, as we touched on in the Vision Pod, still issues there. So we can't, you know, say that it's all sunshine and roses. It's not. There's still things.
We need the club to be better as a whole club for the 100%. To lift the women's game. I think that's the kind of take that I'm thinking about in terms of this podcast and the women's game perspective. The other thing I wanted to just air is I'm just getting very annoyed by people, not everyone, but the odd person popping up and going, just give Fran the job. And I'm like, no, Fran has a job. He is excellent at it, yeah, and he loves it, and we're keeping him, and you absolutely can't have him. Agreed? No.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Money can't buy. No. But just to touch on something that Enzo said, actually, like, there's always a silver lining in everything, and it is that we now don't have to read, announce how tweets underneath every Celtic women's post that goes out by the main, yeah, the main social, the club's main social, my apologies. Yeah, we can just put that to bed, which is a silver lining.
It might get worse now. Get much worse now.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that there will be a lot more content on this from the Cynic in the next few days / potentially this evening. I'm not sure. Moving on. Anna Philby has left Tottenham, Lorenzo.
Yep. Please come here. Stay here.
Please stay here. One of the things that I think I mentioned it a few weeks ago was that, like, I basically, one of my huge things of why I want us to get Champions League football is because it will keep players like her here. And yep, she's been integral to so much of the positive playmaking this season that I was just like, we have to keep her.
Yeah, she's made a brilliant impact. She seems like a good fit in the squad. She seems like she enjoys it up here. You'd imagine she's on some kind of deal with Celtic, independent of Tottenham right now, due to the nature of the transfer. And Lindsay pointed out that Tottenham actually had a little kind of clear out the other day, it was a clear out or just kind of tying up contracts. So you wonder if this was even part of the discussion when the loan deal was made.
Yes.
Maybe we've looked ahead at this, but it all seems like something pretty straightforward that I would hope we could wrap up. And yeah, Champions League football should make it a lot easier deal to strike.
Yeah, if we can just get that final piece of the puzzle, Lindsay, that's really, it's kind of positive news because it gives us a wee bit of hope there, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's odd. I don't really know what's happened, but I know that there's been 11 players released by Tottenham. I don't know why. I don't know what's forced that. But I think with the potential lure of Champions League football, if, you know, we already did it, lured the likes of Anna Philby to the club.
Yeah.
So hopefully there's players of her calibre becoming free agents like this very, very soon. And if there is that taste of European football next season to come, then you would hope that it's going to bring them to come to Celtic and play in the hoops. So hopefully.
And I'm sure once this season is kind of wrapped up and done and we know the results of everything, we'll move on to talking about who's staying and who's leaving and all that stuff. We will, for now, focus on the games. But before we get to the games, one more piece of news that came out this week. It was a kind of little slightly hidden gem in a kind of pile of absolute shit that the benefits being offered to season ticket holders, one of them was, Lindsay, the opportunity for season ticket holders to get into Celtic Park to see a women's game.
Yeah, really positive thing. There was a few people that me and Claire, the girl that came to the Hibs game there.
Shout out to Claire Boyle.
We had a...
Shout out to Claire Boyle.
Shout out to Claire, yeah. We had a chat about it. Another sort of Cynic follower, I think his name's Jerry, I hope I've got that right, kind of messaged me about it and was like, I think that's one of the best incentives to come out of the whole shambles, as you said, because it was a complete shambles. I think the one thing about it is Celtic are probably going to have a monopoly over it being like, it's not going to be the Rangers game, it's not going to be the City game, but at the end of the day, that's my guess. Obviously, I don't know if that's a thing, but that's my guess. But I still think it is a really good thing to have it there. But also on top of it, the news that I'm still waiting on is women's season tickets. When's that news coming out, and is it a thing and is it happening? And it should be. So
watch this space, because we would well, I say watch this space as if I think it's going to happen. I've got no idea. Also, Lorenzo, I think this, like, the news about the season ticket, women's game and the season ticket, kind of falls into the category that quite a lot of our discussions have fallen into this season, which is it's good but it's not enough.
Yeah, it was interesting. I didn't even think about what Lindsay just said there about what game it might be, because I should know better from Celtic that they might not give away the City game or the Rangers game for free. I should know better from Celtic on that end. I just assumed it would be, because I assumed those were the games you'd be more likely to see at Celtic Park. It's intriguing to think about what game it's going to be. Will there be multiple games at Celtic Park? Because it's a bit strange to commit to one when we only have, you know, seven other teams to play in the league we play in. We might have Champions League football. So maybe it'll just be the first one. Maybe you're talking opening day of the season, whoever we end up playing. Not 100% sure. But yeah, women's season tickets, I would love to know. And it'd be nice, you know, it'd be weird to get away from Paradise, or as K-Park as it's commonly known, and play in Celtic Park. But hopefully we can acclimatise to the surroundings.
And hopefully the first game of the season won't be Glasgow City, which every time we kick off again, we always end up playing them. Yeah, I think we're just going to have to wait and see, but another kind of little bit of positivity there. But yeah, good. Another positive thing we've got to talk about. We're going to start talking about football matches. We played Rangers. Where are we now? Friday. It was Sunday. So it was almost a week ago now. And I think all of us, Lindsay, were very nervous before this game, weren't we?
We were all breaking it.
You and I have already done our immediate reaction to the game, which people may or may not have heard. So we'll go through some of that again as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was in a terrible state that day. I was hungover to hell, but was nervous anyway. I was nervous even before when we'd spoke about it on the pod on last Friday. Just really nervous for it. I kind of stuck my head out and said, oh, I don't see it being a close encounter again. And really, I've learned that I know nothing about football and should just give up entirely. But no, I genuinely just didn't see it happening again. And I was totally proved wrong. And it was not good for my nerves. I really kind of, I'm obviously glad it went the way it went. And it was exciting to do it again. But in the day, I mean, I went a wee bit taunt on the pod just saying, but it's true. Like, this squad are special. They've just created a fine bit of history. You cannot take that away from them. They've had a green and white wash, which honestly, regardless of what happens in the next week, next two games, that's an incredible achievement. Yeah. That's the success that you're hoping for, and unbelievable. And the style that they've done it in as well, there's something quite cheeky about it. Like, just pulling wee, like, just the narrowest of wins out of the bag on all three occasions. Like, that is naughty, to say the least. And I'll absolutely take it.
Absolutely. Were you just watching it yourself in the house with your hangover?
Yeah, I had the blinds were down and I was under the duvet because I was absolutely done in. Packet of crisps just at the side, can I iron brew, Def Store.
Proper setup.
But nah, it was really good.
Good. Lorenzo, how were you watching it and how were you feeling?
I was about 2 hours just back from a stag do. So I was very fragile and very scared. I had that that fear, but not pessimism. This team doesn't make me pessimistic ever.
Yeah.
But I had that fear, that kind of, I guess, that just West of Scotland thing where you should be confident, but there's this fear hanging over everything that is going to go wrong. Just such an enormous occasion. Any of the actual kind of football thoughts about how I thought it might go or how we might fare just kind of went out the window. I was just this kind of intensity and this nervousness that just overtook me. But, you know, we were talking about the achievement of it. It's crazy. And if you look at I think bookies odds are something to go by because it does represent the kind of opinion of either bookmakers whose job it is to get these things right, or pundits, or the general public, where the bets are going. Celtic were decent size underdogs every single one of these derbies.
Yeah.
And they won every single one. They get 9 points out of them. So you cannot really overstate this achievement. As Lindsay says, if the season was to go completely tits up tomorrow, knock on wood, we'll have this historic achievement in the bag for our first professional season.
I am actually touching wood right now because I am actually quite superstitious about that. It's interesting what you said as well about that feeling of it's not pessimism, it's just fear. It's not that you don't doubt them, you do believe in them, but it's just all the other extraneous things that could go wrong, or just, you know, it's a game at the end of the day.
It's what makes football and supporting a big club like Celtic, where it's win or die every game, it's what makes it special. It's that nervousness and that intensity, and you know, we don't know what it's like to play matches where nothing matters, or where you don't really care, or where it's kind of half-arsed. We don't know what that feeling is like.
Yes. Lorenzo, Lindsay and I discussed this on the immediate reaction pod, but one of the things that we were all hoping we wouldn't see was Chloe Craig on the bench, and we saw Chloe Craig on the bench. So that probably fueled some of our fear that was driven by A, the fixture, and B, the hangovers.
Yeah, I think we were all just very taken aback by it, and we're blessed with three very good centre halves that you would trust in any game.
Yeah,
and Frank goes with the club captain in the derbies in particular for whatever reason, and you can't argue with the results. You know, yeah. at the end of the day, we can't argue with this anymore. If I see Chloe Craig sitting, as much as I think she's an amazing player, if she sits the next derby or the next big game. I'll just be like, okay, sure, fine, Fran, you know what you're doing.
So the lineup, I'll just run through who was in the starting 11. It was Chloe Logan in goals, which is unsurprising. She's the number one choice goalkeeper. We'll talk a bit about her in a minute. Jodie Bartle, Caitlin Hayes, Chloe Warrington, Kelly Clark. Then we had Rachel Donaldson, Lisa Robertson, Anna Philby, Jacinta, Sarah Ewins, and Mariah Lee. So I don't think that's a team that, apart from the omission of Chloe, Lindsay, was that's a strong team. I think any of us could have picked that team for that fixture. I say that like we're expert football managers.
Yeah, obviously I know what I'm doing. No, not. I was pretty happy with the team. Obviously we spoke about it, so I don't really want to stress it, but we do have such a good defence, we've said that all season long, so it's not so much that you panic about putting anybody else in there, it's just, I don't know, Craig is just such a big player, but
yeah.
End of the day, El Capitano, Kelly Clark does the business as well, so
absolutely.
No, I had absolutely no problems with the lineup, other than just, you know, that I was like, why is Craig not in? This is an abomination. But I'm with Lorenzo now. I've kind of just been, I was actually thinking about this all week, and I was just, Lindsay, shut up. Don't know what you're saying. Don't know what you're talking about. And it's such a special squad that I feel like anybody in their day, when you put them in there, you back them to the hilt, and they're all such a good, they've all got their own such, like, strengths that you don't really worry about putting any of them on there. So I was chuffed with the team. Didn't have any major issues with it. Because I think we were kind of concerned. The one thing was we were a wee bit concerned before about maybe Warrington being squeezed out. And I was chuffed to see that.
I was really pleased to see her.
She was in there.
Yeah, and she definitely earned her place. Lorenzo, without kind of at this point going into the deep, we'll go over the goals and stuff in a minute. Not forensic detail, but we'll discuss them. But in terms of the overall performance from 0 to 90 minutes, it was, again, as we've said, the style in which we've won these has not been sort of going in and taking charge, has it? What was your assessment of the performance against that Rangers team?
Defensively, great. I just thought we've played games against Rangers where we've said the kind of last line of defence and last ditch tackles and stuff has been great and has been really committed. But I thought in this game, we limited Rangers in comparison to those games. We weren't riding our luck as much. They didn't have as many big chances. We were just solid, strong in the tackle, committed. Going forward, not a lot happening again, particularly in the first half, like it has been in these derbies in general and in some of the bigger games. But it was very much like that for both teams. I think we were just happier to concede possession. I don't necessarily think we got dominated in any way or bullied at all. I think without a Tea Garden type, when we did get the ball, there just wasn't a lot of options in front of us because they actually kept Philby really quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And again, I'm loath to be too critical because you can't argue with the results of these derbies. But when we had our precious little sniffs at goal, you know, we took them. Mm-hmm. And again, you can't argue with results. And this is a thing I was thinking about that whole game because we just weren't playing very well and we scored. And it was like, you know, you can justify all your tactical decisions and all your big swings and all your play by winning the game. Mm-hmm. And Franz won these three games. So yeah. I don't even want us to attack the next game. I just want to defend for our lives and win set pieces.
Talking about defence, I'm not sure how much detail we went into on this when we did the initial reaction, Lindsay, but that sort of, we got worried quite early on. There was a Caitlin Hayes, who has been an absolute stalwart in that back line. We've always talked about how much we trust her. She made a very uncharacteristic error that let, and I'm now forgetting because I'm losing my mind today, which player it was that she was up against who came onto the goal for Rangers.
McLaughlin.
Yeah.
It was very uncharacteristic, and as Lauren said, the defending was great the whole day, but it's these wee mistakes, a wee bit of a shaky moment, I suppose, and yeah, very unlike her, but apart from that, there really wasn't much wrong at all defensively.
But again, a Hayes
mistake and a Logan mistake is at fault for the goal, but I completely agree with Lorenzo. We limited them so much. This was the thing, it was horrible to watch. I can't sit here and be like, it was minging. But this is the thing, ladies. It's not pretty. And it was the same, I know we'll come on to it, but it was the same with Hibs the other night. It was just a case of like, frustrate them, let them have the ball, frustrate the living daylights out them, tire them out, and then we went for it when we could, and we took the chances when we could, and when they appeared. It's not Celtic football. It's not our style. We like to have the ball. We like to be in possession. We like to be attacking. We like to be in charge of that ball. But it's not always on for us. Fran has recognised this.
He can see which games to go into and to do what where. Yeah. He's got different tools at his disposal, hasn't he? And yeah, I wanted to touch on Lorenzo having said about how strong we were in defence, and even when we make a mistake, Caitlin let that ball through from McLaughlin, and then it was Chloe Warrington who absolutely stepped in and saved the day and made the clearance off the line. So we've got players who can rectify mistakes. Obviously, it's not going to happen every time, but there is that link up between all those team members, especially the ones at the back, who seem to be able to like avert disaster.
Yeah, they're all very disciplined, and there's always cover. Yeah. And whether that's because we've got great recovery pace, which we do in a few of our players, but there's always a disciplined kind of cover defender there when we do make a very rare mistake. And we talked about, like, you know, how we played defensive. We don't play the Celtic way, but Fran, one of our favourite Fran quotes is dominate the space instead of the ball. And he's very aware of when that's necessary, and you can see him on the pitch. He loves to kind of, there's definite little triggers all over the park where presses happen, and players are very, very disciplined, and they're very aware of where they need to be, when they need to be there. And that in itself is exciting to watch, but it does obviously, as a viewer, leave you sometimes a little scared that it could, you know, you're giving the ball up so much it could take a pot shot from outside the box to cause you trouble.
Yes, absolutely. Before we just get on to our first goal, Mariah Lee had a chance that kind of looked, I can't decide, I don't know if I got a good enough look at it. Should she have scored that, or was it a great save by Fife? Which way are we going with that, Lindsay?
I think she could have done better.
Okay.
I think she's maybe misjudged where the ball's going to go. I don't think she's realised that there's actually a half-decent chance on, and just maybe saw it last minute, so she doesn't quite get the power on it. But positionally, if she switched on to it, definitely could have been in the back of the net. It was a decent save, but there's not much pace behind it, so the keeper should be getting to that, to be fair. I think she's just misjudged the flight of it, and positionally maybe wasn't in the right, just the tiniest bit off the mark, and couldn't quite get the power behind it. But it leads to the corner, which leads to the goal. So
yeah, I was going to let Lorenzo take over there, because we've had our chance to talk about Kelly Clark's goal, which was the first goal scored after 20 minutes.
I mean, set pieces in this team is an unreal ace up the sleeve. I mean, as I said, both goals we're going to talk about come from, you know, set pieces as well. If we're not scoring them, we're getting other set pieces often that we do score. We look so dangerous every time we get one, particularly in this kind of run of unbeaten games we've had. We've scored a lot of set pieces and crosses. The deliveries are always excellent. They're not kind of just these floated balls that we happen to be winning. Mm-hmm. They're always at the end of well-timed runs, clear set plays that we work on the training ground. And more often than not, if a Celtic player gets ahead to it, it's on goal. We don't really balloon the headers over the bar or kind of just throw bodies at them. We're great at taking these chances, getting over the ball and burying the headers. And the goal was just a perfect delivery, back stick. And Kelly Clark, with a 100% design run, frees herself up and buries a header. It's the ideal set piece.
Yeah, we're going to speak to her a bit later on this show, so you'll hear her talk through it. But it was great. And we put a little video out about her celebration, because I saw it on Twitter the next day. I can't remember, it was like Alba footage, but I don't think it was shown in like the main highlights and stuff. But she runs straight over to Chloe Craig, Lindsay, and it's absolutely just, it kind of reminded me though that kind of the huge smile that instantly hits her face, the famous last minute Glasgow City goal that she scored at the end of last season when Fran had just taken over, and she's just, you can just tell how much scoring for this team, especially against Rangers, means to Kelly Clark.
Yeah, I mean, the two of them just are Celtic, aren't they? Like, that's, they are kind of iconic with a women's team, the pair of them. They've been there for so long, they're literally part of the K Park furniture, Celtic Park furniture. But the video was adorable, let's be honest. It was absolutely a slash hilarious. I don't, honestly, Lorenzo, you could not have timed the hug with the song any better. Yeah. I was howling, man. I honestly was like, that is the best. Not even, it was just, it was pure cute. It was dead nice. And it just shows the two of them absolutely.
Yeah. I asked her about it. We'll hear her talk about it again later. And it is really nice because they're just obviously very close. And like you said, they're just very, they've both, you know, I think it's Kelly's got 190 appearances. Chloe Craig has made 200 appearances. They've both been on a journey together through, I'm sure, good times and bad.
Clark, in particular, with these goals, she's such a big game player, you know? Yeah. And again, why Fran probably starts her in these, she has proven herself to be a serious big game player. Yeah. And you need people like that.
Yeah. So we're one ahead. Obviously, sort of the nerves kick in again, because you're like, right, we need to retain the lead, and the lead doesn't last long. Chloe Logan makes a bit of an goalkeeping error. I think we can say that is what that goal is down to, right, Lorenzo?
Yeah, like, Chloe Logan has been so reliable for us.
Yeah.
So I don't even feel like, and she also redeemed herself later, so I don't even feel like we should spend too much time on this, because she deserves way better. But it was, I think she just thought it was going over, and she just it did dip a wee bit, but it just seemed to me like a hand up just to make sure, like, to make sure it's not under the bar, you know, kind of half-arsed.
Yeah.
Which is very unlike her, because she is very reliable, and she's
and she knew what she'd done straight away as well. She was like, oh mate, God, sorry, I'm sorry.
And she didn't flap at it, you know. It wasn't like, oh, I've lost this ball. It was literally, you could see in her face, fuck, I thought I was going over. And she just, but yeah, she dusted herself off, and I'm delighted that we won, because she wouldn't have deserved any kind of spotlight on her for that, causing like a difficult end to the season, because she's been so good.
100%. And the other thing, like you'd mentioned, that she'd made a great save, Lindsay, it was Brogan Hay, who we've mentioned as a threatening player. And you can often tell that Rangers side is trying to get the ball to Brogan Hay to get her to come in and score. And it was a shot on goal it was a great save from Chloe that felt like a bit of a redemption after that mistake. Yeah.
No, it's a topper save, because Brogan was pretty close to the goal as well. She's got some bit of pace behind it, and it's near post, gets down quick, gets it away. No, it was class. And I totally redeemed herself, because if that flies in, we're having a different podcast, a different reaction, a different game. But yeah, the first one was Gabrielle out of reach. And the second one, I don't know. I don't have a song title.
You didn't have you had one. You had a joke for the first one, not the second one.
No, I just get stuck in Gabrielle there. Dream. It was a dream. There we go. We'll just stick with Gabrielle. Chins.
Gabrielle themed only.
It's been a long day.
I'm enjoying this a lot. Sarah Ewens again. Lindsay, it's a corner. Lorenzo's already talked about how dangerous we are from set pieces, and it was just an absolutely kind of classic 1-2 from the corner, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it was a carbon copy, because before it as well, Robocop had flighted a lovely little ball from like the halfway line into Caitlin Hayes. Like, Caitlin Hayes could have had her first goal against Rangers. She had a sort of a wee header, and if Fife pulls off, I mean it looks a brilliant save, it's one for the cameras really. She's kind of did this miraculous big outstretched arm. I don't think it was really necessary, but anyway, but I could have floated in, and that results in the corner, and then Anna Philby, I'm sure it was, took it from the right side, near post. It's great. See, to be fair, it's actually a really good finish. I know it kind of probably looks easy, but she's so close to the goal. The ball was, I would have said the ball was actually a little bit high, so she's had to kind of bring it down ever so slightly. It was coming at 100 mile per hour. I thought it was a pretty quick, pacey cross. And I actually thought it was a really good finish. I think it was a bit underrated just because it looks really, really simple.
Made it look easy. But I think that's kind of what Lorenzo was saying as well. We're always in the right place. Our players seem to have this, obviously it's being trained into them, this instinct about where to be when the corner, you know, they know what they're supposed to be doing. And it's working, you know, getting themselves into those positions to score those goals that do look easy. But it's being in the right place that's not maybe necessarily the easy thing. So then we go, that was, the Ewins goal was 82 minutes. So then again, we've got, as the last game we played at Celtic Park, I think the goal was 80th minute. So again, we've got like a 10 minutes. Let's just feel sick. I couldn't even sit down for the last 10 minutes. I was just pacing around the living room and Chris was like, are you okay? I was like, I just can't sit down until this is over. But yeah. Absolutely. Like, I don't know about you as well, Lorenzo, but I absolutely screamed the house down when that Ewins goal went in.
I think it's because it wasn't even that long. Obviously, you were... So when Hayes gets her header saved, you're like, fuck, is that our big chance? You know, is that a good save? Is denied us our chance to kind of take the initiative here? And it was just straight from the corner, nice and quick. I didn't even have much time to react to it. And it was Ewins, Chris Sutton-esque. You know, she sneaked away at the front post. That was a set play. You know, as another one, she frames her body up, she gets her body in the way of the defender. And she's always had a really good leap on her, Ewins. You know, she's powerful, she's a good athlete. And yeah, nails it. And I think I had 2 or 3 seconds of shocked, stunned silence because it just happened again. I mean, we obviously felt euphoric about it. If I'm a fucking Rangers fan, the Hun pain must be absolutely enormous when that goal goes in, because it's just every single game.
I know. Yeah. And then they haven't got long to make anything happen. And of course, it finished 2-1. We got the 3 points. It was not pretty, but it was done. And I kind of, the overall question, and there were other things I was going to ask about, but really the overarching question, we've probably addressed this a little bit, is just, you know, what is it? Is it that kind of determination of this Celtic side? Is it that kind of grit to just sit in and get the job done that has enabled them to do that against sides that, you know, we got the draw against Glasgow City where we maybe were as the underdogs as well. They can kind of, when they're up against teams who, in terms of skill level, in terms of pace, and in terms of all those technical aspects, sort of match them or better them, they've kind of got this extra quality somehow, Lindsay.
There is something very, very special about this team. Like, the fact that we were able to pull out 3 wins, as Lorenzo's just beautifully put it there, like, it's synonymous with, dare I say his name, but like the Rodgers Celtic, where no matter what happened, like, men, Ibrox going down to 10 men, and we still did it. You just felt like we're unstoppable. There's nothing here that's going to beat us or break us. I'm sitting here in my 2003. The team that was synonymous with set pieces. Every time we had a set piece, you expected Larson or Big Bobo or Hartson or Sutton, as Lorenzo mentioned again, to score. You expected every single time we had a set piece to get something. Alan Thompson and the free kicks. Mm-hmm. Like, every time you were like, this is going to happen, something magical here. It's all of that. All of that stuff seems to be happening with this squad. Punched my table there. There's like a unity and a relentlessness to them. They don't stop.
Yeah.
And you can tell they've just got one another's backs. Like, they really just, there's a complete togetherness. Yeah. And togetherness alongside truly brilliant individual talent. Mm. And many of the squad members, all of the squad members, as I said earlier, the top of the show, they all have a strength in them. Just creates a really, really special football team. Mm. And having Fran as well to pair that together and his knowledge to know the things that I don't, that we don't need the possession this game, and knowing what kind of game plan to go in with for each and every team, it's a pure deadly combination. And it's the reason that we're in this position that we're in, and it's the reason, sorry, that Rangers couldn't, haven't managed to lay a glove on us this season.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful.
Anything to add to that, Lorenzo, before we move on to the next game that we're going to talk about?
Yeah, relentlessness is a perfect word for it, and that's throughout the squad and throughout the management. You can see they're really good, this team. There's a lot of self-belief, you can see, but they're really good at playing to their strengths. And when they've had difficulties with injuries, we've had some key players missing at times, squads have rotated quite a lot, but there's always a really strong awareness from everyone that's on that park of what we need to do and the strengths that are throughout the team and where we need to focus, and the weaknesses of the opposition. So there's definitely a lot of homework being done, discipline, and yet at the end of the day, they don't seem to ever stop running. They don't seem to ever think that they're going to get beat. There's no heads dropping at any point. I mean, again, with a kind of goalkeeping calamity, there was no heads dropped. It was just, you know, fine, we'll just need to do it the hard way.
Yeah.
And this team does not seem to be afraid of doing anything the hard way. And we talked about when we were like, when we did drop that, whatever it was, 5 points behind after the 4-4 John stuff, all I wanted was to be able to get to a point where we have this in our hands. If we need to go beat Rangers twice to get second, we'll just have to do it. Mm-hmm. But as long as you've got that within your grasp and we don't drop any other points, you trust this team to do it. And it's exactly what they kind of they came out and did on Sunday.
Yeah, it's really lovely to watch. I mean, like you said, it hasn't been a perfect season by any stretch, but, you know, the mistakes have happened and they have picked themselves up, dusted themselves off and moved on. It doesn't seem to have kind of, like you said, let them kind of drop their heads and take anything away from what they've been doing. The Hibs game on Wednesday. Do you know, I'm so confused by what even day it is. Like today, I'm
that too many is, games.
I know. You'll hear in my interview with Kelly later, I get my days mixed up as well. Fans back in the stadium. Lindsay, you were there. You and, again, shout out Claire Boyle, Cynic fan and Celtic women fan. You met up with her and did a little piece to camera, which was really nice. But how did it feel to have Celtic fans back at a game? And how many, like, what was the kind of atmosphere like? What was the vibe?
It was class. So even, I didn't really know what to expect, to be honest. I kind of thought, I knew obviously with the Rangers game that there was some family members, so I did kind of expect there'll be family and stuff there. But by the time I'd even got up to, it wasn't like a turnstile, but there was folk at the door and they took your temperature and things. I was in a queue. So I was like, oh, this is actually quite busy. And it was a mixture. There was a couple of kids, parents with kids. There was a couple of, I'm assuming, like Hibs Academy players who were obviously going along to watch the women's side. Walked in and there was a couple of Celtic taps. And I was like, this is brand new. I was like, this is magic. I unfortunately, I never got to speak to more people. I did plan at half time because there was a guy up at the corner flag with a Celtic tap on. And I was going to go and speak to him. But my camera storage died on me and I was really annoyed about that. So I didn't get a chance. But kind of positioned myself in the halfway lane because I was like, I'll get a decent view of everything here while I was waiting in Clare. And Jodie Bartle's mum and dad was there. It turned out Chloe Warrington's dad was there. I didn't know that, but he introduced himself. And I think there was kind of a cluster of the Celtic parents, but I still never quite established who was who. other at the end, Kelly was talking to her dad, who has, by the way, the most magnificent hair you've ever seen. It's like this big, like a perme type. Oh, it's class. But I didn't know that. He was just kind of stood there at the time and I didn't know. And then he spoke to her at the end and I heard her in the interview say that
she feel like, was there. Is this our version of when like the Sun or the Daily Sport would talk about the wags at the England games and stuff? We're going to get Lindsay meeting all the parents and doing a report on everybody's parents for the games.
I mean, just it seems like most of the Celtic fans were parents.
Yeah, I think I couldn't really grasp what was, because there was a cluster of people on the left. And then I have no idea what was going on in the right-hand side because there was loads of folk. It was busy.
I think we're still at the stage, aren't we, where things are being announced quite late. You know, people aren't used to kind of having that thing of going to football. So it's just going to be people who just do it on a whim. So it's...
Yeah. But it was popular. I must say, like that, I did not expect that at all. I thought there would be some parents on both sides and maybe a couple of youth players just, you know, to come and see the women's side. Yeah. And there seemed to be a lot more than that. There was also, and I really was going to tweet about it, and then I just was so caught up in the second half and the nervousness of it. But you can hear them in the, I think it was in the Hibs what do you call them, highlights, but there was a young team in the corner flag, and you can hear it at the start of the Hibs highlights. Why can I not get that word? And the game starts, and all you can hear is, "Mon the Rangers," and I was pure howling. I know it's not, like, I really shouldn't have been, but I was like, the young team are the best team, man. I was like, you can't beat that. It's so funny. And then, so the game continued, and then they were properly getting involved in it, and by the end of the second half, this member of the young team, I don't know, had came out in a full, like, Celtic scarf, and they'd transformed into Celtic fans. So yeah, it was really entertaining. Do you know what it was for me? It had, like, junior vibes to it. Like, I really, really enjoyed it. Mm. You could feel the nerves. There was a proper tension to it because you really didn't know which way the game was going to go. Junior vibes is the way I would describe it, but without the tea and the pies, because the cafe was shut, which I was gutted about.
I think it just goes to show, Lorenzo, doesn't it? Obviously, we weren't there, but the impact that even a few fans on the sidelines can make to just the atmosphere and the potentially then the performance on the field of the teams.
Yeah, particularly when games are flat, you know, you either need somebody shouting at you to rally you up, or you need some support. But, I mean, this is the thing that I kind of not struggle with, but I think about in terms of us playing games at Celtic Park and stuff. Selfishly, I've grown up watching Celtic, so my experience of football is usually in front of 60,000 people. I enjoyed the not novelty of Kay Park, but that close.
Yes. It's a different experience, isn't it?
Yeah, and so part of me doesn't really want to lose that, but we deserve better and we deserve bigger, because I'd hope we can maybe find a happy medium between keeping this... the capacity kind of as close to sold out as we can get it, wherever we are, mm-hmm. are nice and tight and you know, close to the pitch and stuff like that. Because I think that, particularly in some of these closer games, and as a team is newly professional, and there's a lot of players who are new to Glasgow and new to Celtic, I think they'll get a lot out of the fans kind of being right there and right on top of them.
Yeah, I think any kind of stand that just gives us a bit of a better view than at Kay Park would be nice.
That'd be nice as well, yeah.
Just raise us up a tiny bit.
It was nice not to be behind a goal, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, that's where we get put at Kay Park. The lineup, I'll just quickly run through it again, like we did for the Rangers game. We had Rachel Johnston in goals, which we've talked about her. She's second choice, she's very young. She's done great for us, though. We've got Jodie Bartle, Caitlin Hayes, Chloe Warrington, and Chloe Craig was back in with the captain's armband on to start with. And then we had Kate Nicholson, which was nice to see. And quite a few number of the younger players, Kate Nicholson, Izzy Atkinson, Lisa Robertson, Sarah Ewins, Anna Philby, and Mariah Lee. So a nice kind of mixture there, Lorenzo, of experience and youth.
Yeah, it shows France's faith in the youth, because this is comfortably, out of the three remaining games, the biggest hurdle for me on paper, particularly coming so close after such an intense game. I would have tried to maybe get as close to my best team out, but...
Well, they'd also held Glasgow City to the draw.
Yeah, exactly. So. We'll talk about it later probably, but Hibs have improved so much that I was really quite fear of this game. Mm. And I kind of expected to see, like, Jacinta and Donaldson dropped out. They had quite a hard go of it in the derby. And maybe thought it was going to be another one of these frustrating, maybe physical games. So maybe changed it up for that. Mm. But no, I think it says a lot, particularly about Johnson. You know, Logan's such a great keeper, so established as a number one. To go up against the hardest fixture you have left and put Johnson in because you rotate as a matter of course is really impressive.
Yeah. There's that lovely photo of them as well that I'll maybe tweet it. I've got a copy of it where it's Johnston and Logan sort of cheering each other after I think it's after the win. Just like, again, the two keepers, you feel like they're a team. So the fact that they're rotating, when we've been to games as well, like you said, Lindsay, we sit behind the goal. So one of the things that you're really close to before the game starts is them warming up and doing that. And you get that sense that, you've got the goalkeeping coach and then you've got the two of them. They're like a little separate little team of themselves.
Yeah, they've got like their own little bond thing. It's like special teams, which is really, really good. You can play either one of them in the sticks, and I'm not one, but like phased by it. Mm-hmm. Both terrific goalies. Johnson in particular, I think, is really... good in the air, loves to punch a football away, and which is always entertaining, and also really good and comfortable with the ball at her feet. which was great. There was a couple of working out for the back on Wednesday night, and I really enjoyed it. So yeah. Two great goalies, and it's great that you've got that. And I don't, but especially can be hard in women's football to find a goalie, by the way, never mind a good one. Like you tend to get a lot of folk, a lot of outfield players. So it's hard to find a good goalie across the board.
Well, we know that.
But it's really, really special that we've managed to get two very, very high caliber goalies in. For the rest of the season.
I'm going to be leaning on you quite heavily, Lindsay, for this game, just because you were there and the Facebook stream was not very, it wasn't being shown on any official TV kind of channels. It was on the Hibs Facebook stream, which for lots of people, including me, kept failing.
Was the scaffolding not in the way as well? I kept seeing a picture on Twitter and I was like, you've got to be kidding.
So you were there. So we'll come to you. I've seen a few of the highlights and bits and bobs, but really I don't have a sense of the game as a kind of whole. Again, it ended 1-0. We'll talk about the goal, but did it just feel again like we've kind of had that discussion with the Rangers game? It was this is a side that does what needs to be done when it's maybe a bit challenging, and were Hibs playing well?
Yeah, Hibs played well, but without really creating much. Like, again, quite similar to the Rangers game in that regard. For both teams, I wouldn't say there was half chances for each. We were kind of left with some shots from the edge and some half chances. Not much getting done up top. There was a lot of changes up top. So you had the front three of Ewens, Mariah Lee and Philby, I think, was in there. Very strange opening. It was like Philby was playing like the 10 role, and we could not get her on the ball at all. Like, all the parents, you can kind of, obviously I wasn't really talking to them, but you could hear them sort of muttering away about it. And we're like, we're not getting her involved here. And me and Claire were talking about it as well. And so we rotated them again. I can't remember who moved where, but I think then Mariah went into the centre, Philby went right, Ewan's stayed left, I can't remember, but he changed it like three or four times, and finally we started seeing like a little bit of forward play and holding the ball up there. Mariah on the left, I think, worked quite well. We sort of used our pace a little bit, get the ball in behind. And having Philby on the right again got her more in the ball, which is exactly what you want. But I can't really. It was just really nervy and a bit end to end, and kind of good defence for both sides. And breaking it up was the set pieces. I would say that defensively, I thought we were very good again.
It maybe feels
really
like
string much together possession wise. I felt it was a bit disjointed.
It maybe feels like that's where Hibs have improved as well in their defence, because obviously they're not going out and scoring lots of goals, but they are managing to keep goals out of their own net. So I'm just to our goal, Lorenzo, we've talked about, you know, this reliability we've got from set pieces and people being in the right place to header balls into the net. And it was Caitlin Hayes who did it this time, and it was at 44 minutes. So it was before half time, which is lovely. But it was her first goal for Celtic. And we've always praised her as a player, but it almost feels like because we've had such a lot of success from this type of goal, it's weird that it's taken this long.
Yeah, I mean, she's one of our more obvious threats, but again, it was a set play that got her free. You know, she wasn't really having to compete too much for that header. She released herself and it was another great ball. But I was at Kay Park for the last Hibs game, and we did the same. We got a set piece goal in 44 minutes or something like that right before half time. And when Hibs are playing so well and they are so disciplined and they've improved so much, that is just, it's a scunner goal. That's what happens if you get a goal right before half time. And we needed a goal in that first half, because I think that second half would have been a real slog without it. I think Fran would have known that was going to be a tough, tough game. You know, after the result they've had coming after a derby game, and I think he'd been praying for an early goal. So thank God we got one in the first half.
Yeah. And Lorenzo, Lindsay had, you probably saw the interviews he did with the players after. They admitted it wasn't the prettiest of games. They're quite a self-aware team, aren't they? They know what they've done and they know where they can improve.
Yeah, that's, again, just another strength of this team. That's self-awareness and self-belief and confidence. And it wasn't so much, they weren't like apologetic about how the game was a slog. It was, that's the game. It was, mm-hmm. it was one of those games and we got through it,
yeah.
which is what you need to do. So it seems like they're very aware of their jobs and how to just get things done.
Yeah. And obviously a linchpin of all of this, one of the people you spoke to after that game was Kelly Clark, Lindsay. We also spoke to her today as we come up to the final two games of the season. So we'll have a little listen to that now and then we'll have a chat about that after. I'm here with Celtic women's captain Kelly Clark, who many of you will already be familiar with. For those who maybe aren't so familiar, Kelly joined Celtic in 2013. She's been captain for around seven seasons of her years at the club. She's made 190 appearances, scored 25 goals. One of those was against Rangers last week.
Gotta get that in now.
And you might have seen her making appearances on Celtic TV as well if you're watching the men's games. Hi, Kelly. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
Good. I'm very well. I was just telling you I'm a bit grumpy because I've had a long journey today before we recorded this. I got stuck in the traffic with the crash on the M8, but it's fine. I'm here. You're here. It's all good. Yeah, it's lovely to have the opportunity to have a word with you, especially at this crazy busy time. You've sneaked back into your office and I was going to ask you, sort of, it kind of leads me to my first question. How are you personally managing with the kind of intensity of this season, especially with working and it's work, it's the intensity of the fixtures, and then it's also the pressure that's there because the league is so tight at the top?
I mean, I think personally the pandemic's really helped, to be honest, working from home, especially with the intensity, with the midweek games, earlier training sessions, the less time for recovery. Working from home has made my life so much easier. I can get longer sleeps without the commute. I can eat better on my lunch breaks, on after work, before training. Like I said, I can shoot off early and go to the training, go and get my COVID test, which is also a requirement just now.
Yeah.
I just think the pandemic has made my life a lot easier in general, but it's definitely helped with the intense season. Even daft little things like doing washings and hanging them up during the days because I'm at home and not having to gather all the housework for a Saturday afternoon. My Saturday afternoon is now spent horizontal on the sofa, which is great given that there's a game every Sunday. So yeah, it's what I'm used to, working in football, but the intensity of the schedule has been hard but manageable because I've worked from home. And to be honest, you know, you mentioned the pressure and stuff, working all day on a Wednesday and go to play a game at night, I don't have the same 12-hour thinking period that the girls have. You know, I get up and I concentrate maybe for 7 hours. I don't, you know, I try and ignore the game. It's very hard, really, really hard. Wednesday wasn't very productive on Wednesday, if I'm honest with my work. I really wasn't productive, but yeah, it's just a case of trying to concentrate on the work and the game follows at night. You know, it's probably better that way. I don't overthink it, I don't stress about it. I finish work at 5 o'clock, get some pasta, jump in the car, and I've just got that sort of travel to the game to maybe get any nerves or, you know, all these thoughts in your head.
Get in the right headspace.
Are good and yeah. So I actually think my work probably helped, because especially with the sort of, I'm not going to say pressure because nobody's putting us under pressure, but the expectation, the desire to win that the players have, I switch on to it maybe 8 hours after the girls do.
Yeah. Well, you'd mentioned there the Wednesday game. You had the win against Hibs on Wednesday to keep you in contention for second place. We just quickly were talking before we started recording there about the sort of nightmare beginning to it with the delayed kickoff. that type of thing is obviously going to add a little bit of stress to everyone's game going into it, I would imagine.
Yeah, I sent a message to the girls. There was an accident on the M8, and obviously just now we are traveling to games alone, no car sharing, unless you live in the same place as somebody. So I just wanted the girls to not stress, but it's natural to stress when you've been told to be somewhere for a certain time and you usually are there for that certain time. It does get people flustered, and I didn't think it was a great idea for us to be turning up like that. But then you've got the the fact that you eat at a certain time to kick off at a certain time, mm. you've got that delayed. So you're half an hour later, you would have eaten half an hour later, or you might have brought an extra a cereal bar or a banana or something that you don't have with you. So it wasn't a great way to start the night on Wednesday, but yeah. at the end of the night, I didn't care.
Yeah, you got the win, which was fantastic. Caitlin Hayes got her first goal, which was great. And just you smiling there when I mention it, one of the things I was going to mention was the fact that you just all as a squad seem so happy when there is an individual success on the field as well, like Caitlin sort of getting that goal and getting into the scoring.
Yeah, I'd actually, I'm laughing because I text Caitlin during the day saying, I feel like you're going to score tonight. And she did. I just had this feeling.
Amazing.
Yeah, I text her and I'd also said to Lisa, I think Caitlin's going to score tonight. And it happened. So I don't know if she came running over after it and gave me a hug. I'll maybe tell her on Sunday that she's going to score again.
I was going to say, could you do that for the next two games?
I'll keep that up.
Just decide who's going to score. That's funny because that's what... Fran said, as I think it was Mariah who came on in one of the games when she scored, and Fran had said, you're going to score or something.
No. Like, yeah, it might have been against Rangers. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
And it happened.
It's funny.
So,
It's sometimes you just get a feeling. I had a feeling I was going to score on Sunday and it happened. Sometimes you just get there's just something. I don't know. It's hard to explain. Maybe it's just instinct, but. Caitlin was due a goal. She'd scored in a pre-season friendly. She's a massive threat at set pieces.
Yeah,
and it was always going to come. And yeah, she popped up with a really important goal. And I guess just on all the togetherness, I think it's just everybody just sees everybody working so hard for the team, and there's just a total appreciation of it. It's been hard. We've had a few important players getting injured, and we've always managed to pick ourselves up and get results, and there's always something giving us that little extra bit of motivation. And there was obviously fans in the stadium on Wednesday night, which was nice as well. And yeah. But yeah, it's a really amazing feeling to be part of the team. There is a total togetherness. It's just a want to win. I want to do well for the person next to you.
Mm-hmm. Going back to the win against Rangers and your goal, that must have been another really special one overall to get that win. Obviously, it's 3-3, and after the one at Celtic Park, you know, it's just been a bit of a sort of fairy tale, those fixtures, even though they've been hard fought. We on our preview show for that game, we were sort of discussing whether we were like, it can't be another close one. It's going to go either way. And then it was. But obviously, one of the goals was yours. Talk us through how that was and how it was to talk us through the goal and how it was to score against them.
Oh, it was amazing. It's always amazing. I think we just missed a really good chance. The corner came from a good free kick from Lisa that Mariah got on the end of, and Jenna pulled off a really good save. So it's weird because you go from being gutted that a chance that really basically should have gone in to didn't go in to then scoring. So it's like an absolute stomach sinker to absolute chaos. The ball, it was a great ball from Anna. I found myself free at the back post, and
there you were.
I was a yard from the goal. I just remember seeing this ball hit the net, and I don't even think I'd landed yet. And oh, it was just amazing. It was just amazing. It was such a big game.
Your face sort of said it all afterwards. You were just you just lit up instantly. And the one thing we also wanted to talk to you about, because we had the wee video that we put on Twitter of you running straight over to Chloe Craig, who was at that point, she wasn't playing. She was on the bench, but it was like you made an absolute beeline for her, and it was just so lovely to see that moment. What were you thinking? Did you just think, I've got to go and find her?
Yeah, I'd planned it. You know, Craigie's my best friend off the park. We've been best friends for 13 years ish, maybe. We knew each other through Scotland squads at under 15s all the way up, and we've always, you know, we've both had that loyalty to Celtic. We've been through tough times with Celtic, and yeah, it's not that I don't want to celebrate with the rest of the team. I want to celebrate with everybody, but I wanted Craigie involved, and I could see her jumping about like a dafty. I would have gone over to her if she wasn't jumping about like a dafty, but I saw her jumping about down the side, and that's, I think I ran as fast as I've ever ran to get to her.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I loved the video. The Titanic one had us both tearing up. So
well, I posted it, and then I think my colleague Lorenzo said, do a Titanic edit, and I said, I'm just getting on a ferry, you do it.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. I sent it to her, and then it was after training we watched it. I'd already seen it, and I was tearing up when I saw it, and I said, Craig, did you see what I sent you? No. So she looked at her phone after training. We were sitting in the cars, and she was tearing up as well. We loved it. We absolutely loved it. It was amazing. The timing is so good.
And, you just have to honestly, get that.
She's just my best friend.
It's so genuinely. Lovely. It's so lovely to see. The other thing that we were wondering about that game was, you know, when you finish a game like that, you've won, everyone's over the moon, you're celebrating, and then you have the sort of post-match huddle. Can you tell us anything about what is said in those kind of post-match debriefs immediately following the game? Or is it all top secret?
Fran just goes a wee bit mental for 30 seconds and there's a bit of a celebration. That's all it is. There's nothing top secret about it. It's Fran absolutely buzzing, saying some words half the time you can't even understand him because he's that buzzing that he's talking faster than he usually talks.
Yeah, which is quite fast.
And
anyway.
Then it's a team cheer. That's what that is. It's just another thing. Just I think it just shows our togetherness. It's the manager getting us in. It's hard. I suppose the reason that it started is because you can't in the changing rooms. You're not in the one changing room because of COVID.
Yeah.
So that's Fran's chance to pull us all in and tell us well done on the 3 points, but. It really is just Fran going a wee bit mental for 30 seconds and then a team cheering and that's it, over and done with.
I love it. You've got Forfar on Wednesday. Forfar on Sunday. And family are going to be allowed into that. Obviously, you said about having fans in the stadium on Wednesday, which was really nice. It's not going to be full fans in the stadium, but it'll be nice to have a bit of additional support at K Park, which is your sort of home ground.
Yeah, I'm buzzing for that. I think a few of the parents have been trying to watch from afar. My dad's been—he was at the Glasgow City game in the trees. He was at the Hearts game in the trees, and I think a few parents have been like that. So it'll be nice to have them closer. We'll maybe be able to hear them a bit more. I think it was you guys that posted some footage from the game on Wednesday night from the final whistle going, and just the sound of the cheer is.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So I can't wait to have them back in. It's really nice to see people coming back through the gate, you know, whether it's fans like on Wednesday or just family. It's nice to have support there. Just a bit of normality. And obviously as legs get tired and as the season draws to a close, we've still got so much to play for. And sometimes hearing a little come on girls from the side that's a dad or a mum or a gran, a granddad, a carer, a sister, a brother, whatever it is, it really gets that individual going, but it gets the rest of the girls going too.
Yeah, it's really nice. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm pretty sure you could also get a pretty good view from the play park at Calder Glen if you kind of stand high up enough on that hill.
Bird's eye. Bird's eye view from there.
So how are you feeling about the next two games? Is it just, you just mentioned there, it's kind of, it has been tough. You're getting to the end, but there's still so much to play for. They are kind of must win to stay in that second spot. Just a question of keeping going to the end. And obviously having that end in sight must be nice to be able to kind of see it at this point.
Yeah, I think that's it for us. It's just another 3 points and then another 3 points. All our focus just now is on Sunday and then, we've got the usual week in between Sunday and Sunday. So it's not like it's another Sunday, Wednesday. You know, we can have our normal week of training next week, which I think is really important because for the last 3 weeks, it's been hard. You know, I've said it before, but we've either been recovering from the day before or preparing for the day after. It's never been a normal training session. And I think it's really important. The normal training sessions, obviously, they're professional and they're serious, but it gives you more of a chance to maybe have a bit of a laugh and it's not your knacker from the day before or you're fully focused for the next day. It kind of gives you that bit of, I'm going to use the word downtime, it's not downtime, but it's just, you know, it's a bit more relaxing having a Wednesday night where you've still got Thursday, Friday, Saturday before your Sunday game. So it's 3 points on Sunday and then it's hopefully a really enjoyable week next week where we can have a bit more of that I don't really know the type of word or the word to use to explain it, but just have a bit more of that sort of downtime at training, the laughing, the joking before.
I guess it's
turning
just
on the serious half.
It's less just completely relentless, isn't it, when you've got that week break? Because it does, even just like keeping up with the games and watching them, they are coming thick and fast, like on top of each other. So I can't imagine how it is for you guys. Out with sort of the obviously the league, we'll probably talk to you again about what happens when the league finishes. I don't know. Let's just park that and just, you're going to do what you do.
Yep.
But it was revealed this week with the season tickets going out that there's going to be season ticket holder access to a women's game at Celtic Park. That must have been very welcome news for you guys and for the squad.
Yeah, I think that's great news. I think this season, I don't know what it's been. I don't know if it's the fact that there's no football live that you can physically go and watch. I just feel like we've attracted more attention from the fans, from the Celtic fans in general, and on likes of Twitter. And it's been growing over the years, but I feel like we can really capitalise on this year, on the fact that it does appear to be more visible to the fans, and that's just something extra as well. You know, it's really great that the club have offered that. Obviously, it guarantees that we've got a game at Celtic Park next year as well, which is nice.
Hopefully, more than one.
Well, hopefully, and yeah, you know, we'd be looking to hopefully play in front of a bit of a crowd, and just get more visibility. And you know, it's one of these ones where once 100 people come, go and tell 100 people that it was good, then 200 people come. So yeah, I think it's really great. It's a really great idea from the club. I wasn't aware that it was happening until I saw it, but I think it's fantastic, and it's something for the girls to look forward to next year. I think we've seen so much support from fans on social media, and we'd absolutely love to experience it in person. Whether it is at Kay Park or whether it is at Celtic Park, I think we appreciate the support that we've had, and it's reading the comments, the really positive comments that we've read this year has probably really helped with our motivation, because when you read them, you get addicted to them. You know, I always tell the girls before the Rangers games, this is the one that the fans want, girls. It's the one that the fans will react to. You'll get so much praise for it on social media. It's a really good feeling. You'll love going on social media after it. And I think they realise that, and it really does give that extra motivation to go and get the results that you know they're after.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's supporting Celtic, isn't it? And having the team going professional and having brought Fran in, obviously it's been a bit of a sort of juddery start in terms of COVID and things, but it does feel like things are hitting the ground a bit more running now. And obviously you've had to make up for it with this very congested fixture list towards the end of this season. But yeah, I mean, we're loving seeing it being paid much more attention to, and so I was very pleased to see that on as one of the benefits for season ticket holders, just maybe get people in who wouldn't have otherwise thought to go to a women's game. So
absolutely, and you've got, you know, when I go to the stadium for the guys games, you see so many young girls there supporting the club, and I sometimes still wonder, do they even know that if they have a dream to play for Celtic, the dream's really, really doable. You know, it'd be great to get girls along and show them what can be done, that they can do it. If that's what they want to do, they can now do it in Scotland as well.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good idea from the club. I was really happy when I saw that.
Fantastic. I'm going to let you go because you're a very busy woman and you've got a game on Sunday. Thank you so much for taking the time with
us,
Kelly. Hopefully we'll speak to you again once the season's finished and everyone's a little bit more relaxed. But until then, thank you.
You're welcome.
So that was Kelly Clark, who obviously we've talked about it in this episode. She's a real stalwart of this team, Lorenzo, and it's nice to hear her just speaking about the season, about how everything is. You'd feel like you get a real insight from her, I think.
Yeah, you can see why she's captain. She just, you know, she's very comfortable in that role. She's been very comfortable at the club. Three things stood out to me. Her and Craigie being best pals was just nice to listen to. I'm pleased to have made them tear up with that video. I was fucking tearing up listening to the interview. And good to see she's seen like a marked improvement in fan engagement, you know, whether it's on social media or the buzz around the place. It's good to see that they can feel that within the club, and that she's making a point of telling the new girls, you know, if you win this game, you know, check your Twitter. Whereas I imagine, I can't remember the last time Ryan Christie's probably checked his Twitter, you know, or the, the men's team. So yeah. it's nice to see that they can feel that kind of positive vibe around the place.
Yeah, I think she's quite aware as well, because she didn't mention it there, but in another press conference that I listened to a clip, she said, you know, and we will have to take when it's not going so well. Like, I think they're quite aware that with increased exposure and visibility will come the other side of that.
Yeah, Kelly knows it's Celtic, you know. She's been around the place long enough. She knows the positives and the negatives of being part of a club this size. And it was just funny to hear from a not just a footballer, but a captain of a professional club talking about working from home.
Yeah.
That was just, and again, I'm so impressed with Kelly Clark that she can do that. And we play 3 games a week and stuff now, you know, there's training in there as well. The fact that she's juggling all this and we're having such a successful season and she is the captain of it is so impressive to me.
Mm. Lindsay, your thoughts? Do they echo what Lorenzo's saying? Anything else that stood out for you?
Yeah, the fan engagement one was a big thing, because I remember she was saying about how, you know, you get 100 people in the door and then you get 200 people. And I was like, I just like the attitude towards it. Like, it's all positive things. And speaking to her the other night, she speaks so well. Like, you can tell she's a lawyer, didn't she?
Yeah, that's what she does for her.
Yeah, I feel like
in inverted commas day job.
Speaks very, very well. And I'm not surprised. But that was the thing that intrigued me as well, the whole working from home and the commitment to that. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's a full-on job. It's not as if you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, it just as if you're working in a shop or doing something where it's can shift your hours about. Yeah. It's full on. It's really serious.
When we spoke to Jodie Bartle, people who heard that interview, one of the things she said was about how now that she's become a professional footballer and moved up to Celtic, and she gave up her full-time job as a PE teacher in England to do that, that one of the big changes for her was just being able to have that time to dedicate, to be not having to fit her football around everything else in her life. And obviously Kelly Clark is still doing that, and like Lorenzo says, they're still having success on the field and she's still a key part of that team. It's nice to hear, and I really liked hearing about, you know, her take on how close they are as a squad, and especially from someone who's been around for such a long time, you can tell that she kind of recognizes what they've got here now in this moment for that Celtic women's team. Lindsay.
Yeah, she's just super impressive, to be honest. And as you're saying, like, I just don't know how she's got enough hours in the day. It puts everybody else to shame. I'm not that fuck. What have I done with my life?
I know. I was stuck in a traffic jam for an hour today, and it's completely ruined everything.
Yeah, no, as I've said a million times, like, big game player, and she's just massively impressive. And speaks so well. She's definitely the person you would want to be your ambassador for your football club, 100%.
Yeah.
And brilliant. And
well, if you want to be full go, you know, you want to be switched on when the games are on, you need your time off. You've got to be able to switch that off and back on again. And it's nice that obviously the girls that are full time or professional and don't have other jobs will do that. You know, as you can switch off after the game. You've got maybe a day's rest, couple of days rest. So if working from home has allowed her to switch off from football without being in a really stressful work environment and take some time to herself, it's going to pay dividends on the pitch.
Yeah. I mean, just from a broader perspective, it just made me think how different, like, how that's brought that to a lot of people during the pandemic. Like, oh, maybe I don't need to commute. Maybe I can be at home and hang my washing out and eat nice lunch and all that stuff, that it would help a lot of people in their jobs. The final thing we're going to talk about now, we're going to look ahead to the games that we've got coming up. The next one is Forfar. It's the final game at K-Park. It's the final home game of the season. No fans in the stadium, but they're letting, again, family and friends in. I was, when I wrote the rundown for this to send over to you guys, I put, shall we have a wee moan about that, Lorenzo?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've done space for family at K-Park. K-Park is so wee that I 100% agree the most important thing, if you're going to pick, you know, who do we let in, I think family's a good shout. I would imagine they could maybe move the dugouts back to where they're meant to be, you know, so we could have a whole stand's worth of space. But maybe the last game of the season isn't the time to mess about with the logistics that have you know, done them well the past year.
Yeah, I just put a wee moan, not a massive, I'll join in a
wee moan. Yeah.
The other thing is, just for anyone who is listening to this, it is going to be on BBC Sports Scotland, which is my favourite thing for it to be on because it's not in standard def and it doesn't have Gaelic commentary.
What is wrong with Gaelic? It's a beautiful language.
It is a beautiful language. I just don't speak it, Lindsay.
I'm up.
Whatever we might think of it, yeah. So yeah, it will be streaming on BBC Sports Scotland, which is great because hopefully lots of people will be able to get to watch that. And I think we're on a 2 o'clock kickoff as well for Sunday, which is a nice, you know, the late kickoff. I think the team prefer to have that afternoon kickoff. Expectations for this game, Lindsay. We're really like entering the final furlong here, aren't we?
Yeah. So I went into Forfar. They haven't won a game in May at all. Mm-hmm. They've conceded 31 goals. They last pick up a point on the 18th of April against Hearts, which was a draw, 1-1. And the last win was in the 4th of April, which was 3-2-1 over Motherwell. On paper, this should be very comfortable.
Yes.
This should be a doon, if I'm being honest, brutally honest. But I'm still fucking shitting myself. because it's just, there's just so much. There's so much riding on it. And before the pod, you were crunching the numbers.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk a little bit about the numbers. Yeah.
But it's also hypothetical. Anything can happen and the whole thing's up in the air. So it's just one of those. But if I'm being honest, we should be winning this game comfortably.
I mean,
and we should be rattling in the goals in order to affect that goal difference.
Yes, because
in the table,
which we will talk about when we come to the numbers. But Lorenzo, we're coming to the end of the pod, and we've kind of come full circle to that feeling of like hope, expectation crossed with fear, not pessimism.
Yeah,
For the Forfar game and the Motherwell game on the Sunday after.
Yeah. I might regret. I think I won't regret this. I'll say comfortably. I'm excited it was Sunday because I think it should be a very comfortable win. Mm-hmm. And the only thing to worry about is how comfortable is it going to be?
Yeah.
Because it could have some sort of impact on the final day of the season.
Yes. So we just basically we're looking for lots of goals, aren't we, from this game? I mean, we could talk about who we want to be in the squad. We could talk about, but it just feels like at this stage, it's almost kind of Fran's going to pick who he's going to pick. We've got no idea who that's going to be. We want to see them kind of attacking a team like Forfar because we know that we can do that. But again, we want to get the win. It does feel a little bit more crucial to get some goals because is this the point where I start talking about the maths?
Yeah.
Yes. I think we can keep the maths simple-ish if we just imagine. We have to imagine best case scenario. So I think the only way to imagine it is if we win both and
what happens to the others? Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And like so, Rangers lose or something for the last day.
So
City lose even.
So currently the standings are Glasgow City are on 50, Celtic are on 47, and Rangers are on 45. If, as predicted, I think we would all predict that those three teams will all win their games at the weekend, right? So that leaves us at 53 points for Glasgow City, 50 points for Celtic, 48 points for Rangers. Then we go into the last weekend of the season. As Lorenzo said, we're going best case scenario. So we beat Motherwell. We expect to beat Motherwell. I think we can all say that. So we would end up then on
53
points. Correct, Lindsay. Well done.
I think I've got my pencil and my paper right here.
So we would end up on 53 points. Then it's the scenario where, so scenario number one is Glasgow City beat Rangers, which would take them to 56, us to 53 and Rangers on 48, which we sit second. Lovely stuff. We don't win the league, but we're in the Champions League spot. That's what we've been gunning for. Happy days. The other scenario is Rangers beat Glasgow City which means that it would be Rangers would end up with 51 points and we would be equal on points with Glasgow City at 53 with a 9-point goal difference. So it very much then comes down to what has happened goal-wise in these last two fixtures.
And if it's a draw, City win as well, eh? Win the league, at least.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. I haven't done that scenario. You're confusing my maths now.
You would have fifth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have 54.
Scenario number three, yes, is that the Rangers would then be on 49 and Glasgow City would be on 54. So, yeah, they would be a point they would be a point ahead of us then.
The important parts, if we win two games, we get Champions League football.
Correct.
Yes.
And if we... I mean, we're playing the two. We're playing two teams with the worst defensive records in the league. So, if we want to be excited about it,
the takeaway from this podcast is we could still win the league.
We could. It would take a heroic barrel load of goals, and a Glasgow City, you know, poor performance this weekend, maybe scrape by, and get beat. Maybe Rangers hammer them on the last day of the season. Yeah. They've done it, but you know, it's not unheard of.
It's going to
my
be...
face has just went absolutely red raw, by the way. Can you see this?
is it the stress, Lindsay?
The numbers, mate. I'm not that on no. Terrible maps.
I hope that everyone listening could keep up with that. I think it's, you know, there's lots of obviously different permutations that could happen. And again, we're not going to preview like in great detail the Motherwell game coming up because we'll be talking, that's the next Sunday anyway, so we'll talk about that next week. We'll be doing a lot of stuff next week to kind of cover the end of the season and hopefully talking to more players. And I'm sure there'll be press conference and audio and stuff to include. But sorry, Lindsay, you had something.
No, I was just going to comment, like, because we've not really touched it. We probably should, but it's in the note as well. But like, Forfa has been the difference. Yes. For us,
yeah.
But it's that draw that's humped us. And do you know, I actually watched it back today and I've not watched it in a long, probably since we did the reaction then, but the first half, man, we were completely dominant, like completely with so many. Anita had a couple, one off the line and a couple of good chances. Summer Green had some chances. Hayes had a chance. And it was 0-0 at half time and it was just Pollard.
Yeah,
absolute cheek of her, opened the scoring.
Well, we've got her signing. Now. We've poached London Pollard.
She scored a big dirty hoof up the park and Pollard ran onto it with a magnificent pace and scored. And the second one was a set piece, I think. It was a free kick, I think, at the edge of the box and it was a header on. We're 2-0 down. And this again comes back, because, you know, I was thinking about it and I'm watching it today and I was like, we look at it as if, oh, that's the game that's gubbed us, but it's also that relentless energy and getting the two goals in the very, very last of minutes. Craigie scored in the 88th minute with a header.
It was so touch and go that game.
What's her name? Natalie Ross gets the equaliser. And so you look at it and go, oh, that result's humped us. But actually, the two goals have potentially saved the season in hindsight. I'm not looking at the game going, oh, it was two each the last time. Not the last time there was a game in between. Beat them 8-0, I think, in the last game, if my memory's right. But it's just that is, when you look at the table, you're like, oh,
it's just, it's almost become points. Like the Forfa draw has just become a bit of a psychological thing rather than an actual practical thing, I think, at this point. So we just need to go over that. I'm going to skip over it now and move to the positive.
Oh, sorry, I'm so sorry for mentioning it.
It's fine. No, I think it's important to mention it because I think it is in everyone's mind, anyone who's been following this season, that game was one of the first points at which, you know, points were dropped and it was like, oh, you know, maybe contributed to people seeing us as the underdogs going into some of the games with the other top two in the table. But we shall just have to wait and see what happens on Sunday. I'm, for one, like you said, Lorenzo, very excited about it.
I mean, if we get an absolute barrel load of goals on Sunday, we get a penny cars Sunday, you know, next weekend or a helicopter Sunday, whatever you want to call it, we could do something crazy next weekend.
Yeah, I mean, if this was a title race at this point, if we won all the games, if it was a title race with Rangers, their goal difference is huge at this point. They've scored a lot of goals this season because it's Glasgow City, their goal difference is touchable, I think.
Another 8-0 and we're, you know, it's alive.
Yeah. So, on that note, like you said, Lorenzo, we just need to win the next two and we're in Champions League football, which is an incredible position to be in for the end of the season. We're all really looking forward to Sunday. As always, get in touch with us. Let us know what your thoughts are. Follow us on @CynicWomen. We are constantly talking about the women's game and we'll probably exclusively focus on that in our lives from now on. It's been really lovely talking about this. It's actually been properly the highlight of my day. Lindsay Hamilton, thank you for joining me.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And of course, Lorenzo, it's lovely to have you back.
Thank you very much. Glad to be back.
I have been your host, Claire Wilde, and we will speak to you next week.